Let's turn in God's Word to John chapter 16. And in John 16, we'll be reading verses 1 through 33. John 16, verses 1 through 33. God's people, John 16, verse 1. These are God's holy and infallible words. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Albeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and ye shall not see me. And again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. And some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while and ye shall not see me. And again a little while and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh, when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I come out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Those are God's words. Jesus here continues preaching to his disciples. Again, this is after the Lord institution of the Lord's Supper. He's preaching in which through verse 6 he gives as a warning to them of what will come upon them for being followers of Jesus. Great trouble. Excommunicated from the synagogues, out of which they will be wounded with hurt and great sorrow. But by God's grace, he warns them of it. He doesn't hold it from them, but he warns them. And through verse 15, Jesus then offers words of support and comfort under those troubles as he promises to send the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. When he leaves, the Comforter he will send. The Spirit will comfort them. He promises also that he will visit them at his resurrection, through verse 22. They're sorrowful now, but they will be joyful when he rises from the dead and appears unto them. And that will bring great joy. Through verse 27, that an answer of peace will come through all their prayers. They would pray. Through verse 32, another comfort that he was returning to God the Father. And yet he will rule over all the universe. And that should be a great comfort. And then finally, the last verse, whatever the troubles of this world, because of Christ's victory, they shall have peace. Beloved, our God not only teaches us that in preaching that the preacher must warn, what we heard this morning with John the Baptist, so with Jesus, we must warn of what is to come in preparing God's people for it. Jesus also shows us here that there are troubles for our future, and yet we do not have to fear, but trust in Him, and we will be comforted. For He who at the right time will bring peace through His resurrection and through His victory. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for how You grant us the victory. You've overcome the world in which there is tribulation. And so we, in union with Your Son, Jesus Christ, in that victory, in union with that victory, we can be comforted and have peace, knowing that our end is not in the death of the body, but in life everlasting with You, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, always in our hearts. And Father, for this we praise You and we're thankful. We're thankful that now, that though Christ has ascended and is seated at the right hand of God, You, Father, that You have sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to comfort us, Your weeping and grieving children who are struggling in this world. That You uphold us and strengthen us by Your Spirit. And so we're thankful for Him. Even as this Spirit, Your Holy Spirit, strengthened Christ, so You strengthen us. And Father, another comfort, we know that Christ is on the throne, sovereignly ruling over all. Not only as head of the church, but as king over all kings and over all rulers and judges and over all nations and over all creation, the universe and everything that is within it. Over all, Christ rules. And so we have comfort and peace knowing that He, we might say, is at the helm, ruling and defending us, His people. And so, Father, now we do pray for our rulers. Knowing that Christ is King, we pray that all our rulers, all the governors, all the mayors and councilmen, and all these people who are our civil magistrate, that they would be brought to bow the knee to Jesus Christ, that we would call them to it, and call them to kiss the Son, lest they perish. And what a great blessing it is to bow the knee to Christ and kiss Him. as a ruler. And we're going to see this evening Joshua, who does bow the knee to you, Lord, who is the King, and how you magnify him and honor him. And so we pray the same for our rulers, that they would bow the knee, and that we would be able to honor them rightly and submit to them in all things, because they submit unto you and unto your Son, Jesus Christ. That's our desire. That's what we want to do. And yet, Father, even now it is so difficult, even to do so for the sake of peace, because the rulers that are over us are wicked and do not love Jesus. Even those who profess the name of Jesus and profess faith in Him are really wicked and still rule according to their own desires, seeking after money and riches and coveting it and power. And so, Father, we pray that you would humble these servants of yours, that you would grant to them salvation in Christ alone, and that they would covenant with Christ and rule according to His word, your word. And Father, by it, that you would bring about peace in the church, peace that we'd be able to worship you according to your word alone, and not according to the dictates and traditions of men. Father, may you would purify the church. We prayed and asked for such and heard about such this morning. Father, purify and sanctify your church, your bride, whom you love, whom you died for. Cleanse her with the pure milk of the word. Cleanse her with your blood, the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray also this evening for the many other churches and congregations who need your help, who need your assistance. We pray for the saints in China and how many of them recently were jailed, and again, more persecution brought onto them that they have experienced over and over again. Many ministers and servants of you put in jail to try to cut off your message. And yet we already know that your message cannot be cut off, because your word goes forth. And so, Father, we're thankful for those servants there who are faithful even in the midst of great suffering. And Father, may they give us a boldness and zeal that we would proclaim your word without reservation, without fear of government or man. You would make us to be faithful citizens of your kingdom and faithful citizens of the United States, because we know faithful citizens proclaim your word and the gospel and call sinners, including rulers, to repentance. Our Father, we ask that you would be with the churches here who need building up, who need godly preachers to preach, as we've heard recently in your word, boldly, warning, as Jesus warns here, of what is to come in the future, that we would turn from our sin and turn unto Christ. And so we pray for those churches like the Denver Church in Westminster and Laramie and Manhattan. We pray for a church planter, a pastor to be raised up for the Houston Church Plant or Mission Church. And Father, I pray that your churches would be filled with elders and deacons and godly men to preach your word and teach it to the next generation, that we would not end up to be a generation of vipers, of serpents who follow after the father who is the devil. May you be our Father alone. Our Father, we do ask that you would watch over and care for us, And be with candidates in our presbytery who are seeking to become pastors. We pray that you would grant them your word. Grant them discernment in that call, as well as grant discernment to the presbytery as they judge whether you have called them or not. And Father, we do pray for this congregation that you would raise up the next generation of elders and deacons and pastor after me and godly servants, husbands and wives to come, even of our children. Father, we pray that you would raise them and bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, your Son, that they would know not one more day apart from Jesus Christ as their husband and bridegroom. And so give us communion and fellowship with Christ, your Son. And Father, turn us from our sins and grant us peace and comfort and the great trials of life that we endure. According to your sovereign plan, of which we trust your plan, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.